Today, I will start a series of sermons on the good news that we have here in front of us. I hope these sermons will help us draw closer in appreciation of our Heavenly Father and our Savior as we come and partake of the spring holiday season, which is drawing near. When we refer to the gospel of Jesus Christ, most often, we think of Jesus Christ's return to this earth. That is one part of the gospel, no doubt about it, the good news. But there's so much more to the gospel message. There are many different facets to the good news that we have found in this book, the Bible, God's Word. So today, we'll look at a few of them that we have here that is good news. So a very good place to start, of course, is always at the beginning. So today, if you would turn with me over to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, where we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, this verse is right where it should be in the good news for all of mankind. We're introduced here to the supreme beings over all that exists that we have. What percentage of mankind today even reads this verse with understanding? When Christ returns, looking ahead, and those human beings who have just gone through the greatest tribulation that mankind has ever faced are taught this verse, we may very well be. This is where we begin with them, to teach them that there is a God. God does exist. In that first verse, we are introduced to God. In the Hebrew, it's Elohim, plural, meaning more than one, as there. Why is this so important to understand this concept? Much of mankind does not understand that God, Elohim, is plural here. Most of us never knew or searched this scripture before our calling. We're blinded to it. And even though we may have read this verse many times, I know I had, but I did not understand that there was more than one being that was speaking here. So here we're introduced to the Creator, the God family. At this point, we know the family consists of at least more than one member. So we may have a hard time grasping the concept of God always existing. I think it is for everyone. Something without no beginning. Because everything we see has had a beginning that our eye comes into contact with. All that exists came by certain laws set in motion by God, the Creator. You know, whether it is a beautiful butterfly that's been created, how it goes through from the caterpillar and everything. The different flowers. The other evening, Amy and I was watching a program about God's creation. How every flower has a different fragrance. How is that possible even? Say nothing of the different colors on the different flowers that God created. And then mankind as well. How we're so different, how God created us. So as we continue reading, we find Elohim created all we see with a physical eye, including what we see with a telescope or microscope. And then as we go on in this very first chapter, verse 26 of Genesis, God said, "Let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we see here then that God says, us, let us make man in our image, according to their likeness. We are to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle. Mankind is be a caretaker of this earth that God has given us and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created Adam and Eve. And mankind, we're special because he has given us the spirit of man so that we can think and reason compared to any other of his creation there that physically we can see. Notice Isaiah 42 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 5. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. So here, description of God, as he said, the heavens. And as we're finding out, mankind, the heavens just continually stretch and stretch and stretch out. There is no end for them. But God created them, and the stars that are up there, and the planets, and everything. He created them. And then everything on the earth, he says, he created. So we're going to be introducing to these people this God, this creator. There is a God. He is a creator, and he's given us this spirit of man. God is omnipotent. What he wills and orders, and he knows all and sees all. Notice that, this wonderful God that we have that created us. As it says in Psalm 84 and verse 1 through 4. Psalm 84, verse 1 through 4. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. So hear about the sparrows, the swallows. God created it possible for those birds to exist and live. And notice what Christ said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 6 through 7. Luke chapter 12 and verse 6 through 7. Where we read, and not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God. So this is Christ talking to the Pharisees, to his disciples at this time. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. We are of great value to our Heavenly Father. As Christ said, he knows about all the sparrows, and he knows the hairs on her head, and Christ is bringing up, you're valuable to our Heavenly Father. Great value, tremendous value. We have the potential to be born into his family, to dwell with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And also, as it says here, do not fear, therefore, because he knows us. He looks out for us. He is with us. You know, we always thank our Heavenly Father for calling us to his understanding. There are estimated 8 billion people on earth today, roughly. And here we are, small group here and those of you listening online. We're among the select few to understand his word, to understand our Creator. We do not worship the creation, as so many do. There are those who worship the stars and Mother Nature. We do not worship our ancestors, as many do, or follow an individual who had some vision that millions follow him because he had his visions years ago. No, we've been called out of the world because even our neighbors do not know what we know. So we are so precious in God's sight that he has revealed his mysteries to us regarding him. Luke chapter 8 and verse 10. Luke chapter 8 and verse 10. And Christ says to his disciples, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." So it's so wonderful that we can understand only through God's Spirit. As it says, others have read these parables. They don't understand. They were there with him, but they don't understand because they don't have God's Spirit in them to have this understanding. So we are so blessed to have this understanding. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Another scripture that we can be so thankful for, praiseworthy. Hebrews 11, verse 3. "By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Yes. The author here of Hebrews brings it out. By faith, we understand. We aren't distracted to think, oh, to come along with evolution. No, because God calling us and understanding this very first verse in his word, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. So that's one facet of the good news, that there is that one creator there that created us. Going on to the second facet of the good news that we have here is that God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. That there is God the Father and there is Jesus Christ the Son. So if you would, turn with me over to John now, chapter 1. And we'll begin reading there. John chapter 1. And verse 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." So here we come to the understanding of the us that we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Word. Continuing on here, now in verse 4, as we read. Verse 3. "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend." So we have here John bringing out that Jesus Christ is the Word. that we have. And he was there in the beginning. He was with us, with the Father, the one who later on we'll read Christ describes God the Father to us. Together, they created all things that we see. Dropping down to verse 9 here now, where we read, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." Yes, Jesus Christ is that light. Through him, we can understand, and he gives us understanding, and we come out of darkness. He is the light because he dwells within us. Continuing on then, now, verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own," which would have been the Jews at that time, "and his own did not receive him. Just as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So John described Jesus Christ for us at this time in his gospel message. So then, as we realize who Christ is, and knowing that there's two beings, and also notice here in verse 18, John 1, verse 18, where John says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So then there is our Heavenly Father, who no man has seen except for Christ. So John brings that out. So definitely there's two beings in the God family. Verse 18. Yeah, I just want to go back as we're right here. "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who has in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So could almost look at it both ways. The Father declared his Son, which we'll read, and Christ declared the Father, which we'll read his words as well. So they declare one another. So we need to pause and remember when we first understood this truth. Those of us called out of the world, or as you could say, out of darkness, let us never forget this calling from the Father. He called us out. With his Spirit, he's been able to reveal to us who he is and who his Son, Jesus Christ, is for us. Let us, as we approach the spring holidays, never forget the Father and Son relationship that they have, that they're there for us. And let's notice the purpose of John writing this gospel. If you would now, turn with me over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, 30 through 31. Where John writes, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So John is saying, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. What that word translated as Christ means, the Messiah, the anointed one, anointed by the Father to say, "This is my Son, the Son of God." We are to believe that. We've been blessed So we have this distinction that has been revealed to us between God the Father and His Son, our Savior, revealed to us. Number three, in the way of looking at things regarding God the Father and Jesus Christ. Number three is prophecies concerning the Father-Son relationship. Prophecies concerning this Father-Son relationship that we find. If you turn now with me to Psalm chapter 2. Prophecy way back in the book of Psalms, chapter 2. This is considered one of the messianic psalms. Messianic refers to Christ as our Messiah. And let's notice in verse 7 of Psalm chapter 2. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So here a relationship is being brought out about the Father-Son relationship, even back here in Psalm chapter 2. Let's turn to another messianic psalm, Psalm chapter 110 and verse 1. Psalm 110 and verse 1. And this is a psalm of David. And it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So here, that relationship once again, David, through the Holy Spirit, knew that there was a distinction between God the Father and Jesus Christ, as he mentioned here, that there is this distinction, a God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you turn with me to another prophecy that we find over in Revelation chapter 4, and we'll be reading through some of chapter 4 of Revelation and some of chapter 5, and see that relationship as we see here of what John saw in vision. So begin here in verse 1, Revelation chapter 4. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I'll show you things that must take place after this. Immediately John was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The four living before the throne, and there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like the lion, the second like a calf, and the third living creature like face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 God, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So describing, you know, as we'll see, this is God the Father. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. 24 elders fell down before him who sat on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. and cast their crowns before the Lord, saying, you know, here describing God the Father as he sits on the throne, always existing. Still can't comprehend that. Can you? That always existing, God the Father. And he's on this throne. And what they describe here, the creatures and the sea of glass, not quite sure I could describe the sea of glass or what that means at this time. We only have these words. But we see here in verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." Now, going on now in chapter 5, let's remember there, as it was written, there was no chapter break. So as John has these visions, he's there, and he sees this throne with God the Father on it. Then chapter 5, verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." So here he sees this image sitting on this throne, and he has a scroll in his hand. "Then I saw an angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So John weeps much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood.'" So then we see that this is Jesus Christ who is able to take that scroll out of the Ancient of Days of God the Father who is sitting on the throne and to open it up. Continuing on, John writes, "Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you have made us a kingdom of priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth." So then we see here that Jesus Christ and God the Father. Continuing on, verse 11. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings.' And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" So we see this relationship between the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, there then, the vision that John had, he was taken to. So it's Jesus Christ is the worthy one, our Savior, to come to earth, to save mankind from where we're headed. Now, for another facet of the good news. See, that's good news, that Christ is there and God the Father. See, this book is full of good news for mankind. Another aspect of facet of the good news is the words of our Heavenly Father that we now will read here. If you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 3, and verse 17. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. I believe this is the first time that it's recorded that we hear the voice of God the Father, as it says in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. This is after he was baptized. We'll begin verse 15. But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. So when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. So then Jesus Christ set the example that we all who come into the family of God need to be baptized. As Christ said here, let it be so. So he came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So right here, the beginning, as the disciples are able to hear, the Father Son relationship. It can also be translated this verse, "This is my Son, the Beloved." So here was the Father Son. Luke chapter 3. Another account. Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. Once again, when he was baptized, it says, "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" So we see this relationship continuing. And then Luke chapter 9. We also see this at the time of what's called the Transfiguration, Luke chapter 9 and verse 35, where we read, "And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.' And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of these things that they had seen." The disciples there with him at that time. So once again, this distinction between God the Father and Jesus Christ that we are to hear. So why is it so important for us to understand this good news that there is a Creator? Well, there are many false religions. People are deceived in the world. And remember, I talked about when Christ returns and mankind, we're there to teach them. We'll have to start at a beginning. We'll have to start with the creation, that there is a God in the form that there is. There is God the Father and Jesus Christ, who created everything that they see. No longer will they have to go and worship the creation. They worship the Creator. There will be no need to dip in the Ganges River for your salvation. Just so when I'm putting this together right now over in India, there's some thing to do with the Hindu religion. They do it once every 12 years at this particular spot. They estimate 8 million people will do that, following that religion, to dip in the Ganges River, some kind of celebration. How about there will be no need to walk around a black rock in a hot desert for salvation? Millions do that as well. We're going to reveal the truth. the good news to mankind. That there is a creator, a loving creator, a loving, caring father, and a loving, caring son, who are our Savior. Let's never forget that, brethren. Let's remember that. And as we approach these days of unleavened bread, let's be very thankful for our calling. Even though we're few in number, let's give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Now, there's much more. Like I said, there'll be a series of sermons I'm going to be giving. So there's many more scriptures we're going to look at regarding the relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. Next time, I believe, we'll look at a number of scriptures where Christ talks about the Father, revealing the Father to us. He says, I come to reveal him to you, and how we are to pray to the Father. Another one, it might be separate, might be two more, sir. Another one is we are to follow Jesus Christ, right? He's the one that we are to follow. And you look at that relationship that's revealed in the Gospels, how Christ always deferred to the Father. Whatever the Father's will is, I will do. I came to speak my Father's words. Is that the relationship we have with God the Father when we pray daily? Father, show me your will in this situation. Guide me. What would you like me to do, Heavenly Father? Show me how I can serve, how I can be a servant to my brothers and sisters, that you've given me life so I can serve in whatever way. A phone call, visiting, cards. Father, show me. Where can I serve? Where can I give an encouraging word at fellowship today at Sabbath services? Be with me, Father, so I can be like you. Because see, Jesus Christ followed the Father. It was always the Father's will, not his will. If we remember there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, I wish there's another way than I to have to give my life. But if not, your will be done. Do we pray earnestly like that as well? Asking that Father's will be done daily in our lives? I hope we do. So we have some more many scriptures to look at in the Gospels yet coming up. So have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath day.